Good afternoon from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau. I'm Jennifer Pemberton. Parents in Juneau say they got a call from administrators of the Raleigh Summer School program after their children were given floor sealant instead of milk to drink at breakfast this morning. The incident happened at Glacier Valley Elementary School. The Raleigh program serves kids ages 5 to 12. Barry Nidham's 7-year-old daughter drank some of the sealant. He said he was shocked and infuriated.
I don't see my daughter going there anymore. You'd have to have people that are running it removed and have new people running it. There's no way.
His wife, Ryan Nidham, says she got the call from a program administrator around noon, hours after the incident. Initially, parents heard it was paint thinner in the milk, not sealant.
She called and told me that there was traces of paint thinner in the drinks. And I'm just like, what does that even mean?
Later, Nidham found out it was a product called Hilliard Seal 341. The sealant's safety data sheet says it's, quote, expected to be a low ingestion hazard. Nidham was told that the administration took the cups away from the children and called either a poison control center or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, then waited and monitored the children. They said no one needed to be hospitalized. When she asked for more information, administrators told her the issue was under investigation. The Raleigh program has not responded to requests for comment from KTOO. She says her daughter is fine so far, other than an upset stomach. The state's health department is launching a new program to prevent opioid overdose deaths among industrial workers. They're getting started with Southeast Alaska Fisheries. Claire Strempel reports for KTOO.
Sitka Public Health Nurse Denise Ewing is in Juneau, putting together opioid emergency kits with a group of volunteers. She shows them how to get the rubber gloves in.
This is how I do my socks.
That's how I do socks.
Perfect. Do a sock roll.
The gloves get nestled next to the overdose-reversing drug naloxone, sharps containers, fentanyl test strips, and CPR masks. That all goes in a red metal box that's destined for a fish processing plant in Southeast Alaska.
Gabe, our son, had struggled with opioids for many years, and we went through that struggle with him.
The initiative is called Project Gabe, named for Ewing's son, Gabe Johnson, who died of an opioid overdose this January.
And when he passed, it was something that we wanted to do together. It's like, we've got to stop this. This is stoppable. But it's going to take a long time if I have to give a one-on-one education to every person.
So Ewing decided to get her message across the seafood industry. She started in Sitka, where she knew the seafood processors from her work as a public health nurse during the pandemic. She mounted opioid emergency boxes in standardized spots at each plant.
Because seafood processors kind of hop from seafood place to seafood place often.
When new hires came to their start of the season orientation meetings, she talked to them about opioids. She talked about the risk of fentanyl, the drug that's responsible for a record number of overdoses in the state. She said she thought it might be hard to sell plant managers on her idea because of the stigma that surrounds opioids and addiction. But they were on board. Mike Duckworth Jr. is the plant manager for Silver Bay Seafood in Sitka. He says the plant feels safer now that there's opioid emergency kits.
This is my 25th year working in this industry, and I can say that I have been other plants and facilities in Alaska that, this would have saved somebody's life.
He says there's around 400 people working at his plant, and they haven't needed one of the kits yet. But he's glad to have them as a precaution.
And that's it, I think.
Back in Juneau, the group filled about 150 boxes.
We're out of red boxes.
Some will stay in Juneau. Others will go to places like Cordova, Tunnicky Springs, Pelican, and Gustavus. The state plans to expand the program to other regions and other industries in the future. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strempel.
A state-of-the-art hybrid cruise ship is visiting Alaska this summer for the first time. It's part of a fleet of ships owned by Hurtigruten, a Norwegian company. KFSK's Catherine Monahan has the story of the ship's recent visit to Little Norway in Petersburg.
Good morning. Hello. Petersburg.
Passengers arrive in small, bright orange boats. They attend a cultural presentation at the Sons of Norway Hall. And outside, they snap pictures of the Viking ship. It's a little smaller than their cruise ship, the Roald Amundsen, but it shares the same roots.
Roald Amundsen is the national hero of Norway.
That's Stefan Biersack, an expedition leader with the cruise line.
He's the first man who actually flew over the North Pole with an airship, which then landed close to Nome. So that's why in Nome and on the other side where they started in Svalbard, they have the identical bust of Roald Amundsen in bronze. And he was the very first man sailing through the Northwest Passage. So he's quite the explorer.
The MS Roald Amundsen is one of the larger ships to visit Petersburg. It can hold just over 500 passengers. It stays out in Frederick Sound and lighters passengers in on smaller boats. This summer is the first time it's sailing to Alaska after voyages scheduled for 2020 got canceled due to the pandemic. The cruise line, Hurtigruten Expeditions, began in Norway in the late 1800s when it established a coastal route.
Because in Norway, hardly any places are connected by street. So they had to have a system to provide people in the fjords with food, with news, with whatever it is. And then they also transported fish, herring mostly.
And if that sounds familiar, well, the feeling is mutual. Biersack says that Southeast Alaska is a lot like Norway, except more extreme.
It's such a stunning country. It's like Norway on steroids, you know.
Yeah.
It's so much wider, the peaks are higher, the trees are taller. It's great.
The Roald Amundsen was completed in 2019 and features cutting-edge technology. It's a hybrid vessel and uses battery packs in conjunction with its four diesel generators. One of the crew described it as a giant floating Prius. And Biersack explains that while the ship does have two anchors on board, it doesn't use them much.
We have something else which we call DP. It means the ship has very, very accurate GPS systems, several of them. And this dynamic positioning is operating the bow thrusters and the propellers, and it keeps the ship in position without an anchor. And it's so precise that we do not move more than 5 or 4 centimeters at all. Even when the wind picks up, then the system kicks in and gives us more stability. So then we can stay in a spot where an anchor would actually not catch.
The ship will continue south to Vancouver and then turn around for its next voyage up to Nome. It's scheduled to call in Petersburg 2 more times this summer.
So we will pass here every time.
Perfect.
Because we really do like Petersburg. I had a lot of very big honchos on the ship last trip, and we all agreed that Petersburg is the coziest of the places. I think definitely. And you have a Viking ship.
During the Roald Amundsen's next stop, the Petersburg Chamber of Commerce plans to present it with a wooden plaque, hand-painted in traditional Norwegian style. In Petersburg, I'm Catherine Monahan.
Rain has halted a fire burning near the upper Kuskokwim River villages of Sleipmoot and Red Devil. But as Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early reports, fire officials warned that it should pick up again when skies get sunnier.
After Monday's rain, the Alaguk Mountain fire is only 1% active, according to a detection and mapping aircraft.
So it means only like of that big perimeter of the 95,000-acre fire, 1% of it was putting off smoke.
Brentwood Reed is a spokesperson with the Alaska Division of Forestry.
They didn't have any movement on their fire yesterday. It's just kind of smoldering and creeping.
The fire is burning about 10 miles southwest of Sleipmoot and 12.5 miles from Red Devil. Reed says the fire is still active, and it's likely to pick up again in the coming days. He says the fuels for the fire, such as black spruce and parts of the tundra, are likely to dry up quickly as the rain subsides.
If it's a sunny day with wind, those will dry out 1 hour. So the first day, or the second day, we don't have any rain, then we'll see that fire start to pick up, and all the fires start to pick up.
Reed says the fires in the upper Kuskokwim area are at a more moderate level, and fire officials are setting up to protect nearby structures, primarily near Sleipmoot. He says most of the structures are recreational and not currently inhabited. He says it's unlikely that the community will have to evacuate. Reed says there are currently 46 personnel battling the fire.
They're going to be firefighters in place if fire comes through there. It's very unlikely that with the fuel type that a crown fire is going to roll right through there.
As the fire smolders, Reed says it's still likely to create smoky skies in the area. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
There have been more than 200 wildfires in Alaska so far this year. There are currently 85 active fires in the state. On our website right now, we have resources for finding the latest information on wildfires in Alaska and how to report a fire to the state. That's at ktoo.org. Warmer and drier weather is coming to Juneau. Tomorrow will be foggy in the morning, but should be sunny after that with a high near 64.